From Philadelphia, it's Torah Talk. Hello, everyone. This week we are reading Parshat Chaye Sarah, Genesis 23:1 through 25:18, and I want to talk about Genesis 24, as I often do this week. The longest chunk of this parasha is the story of how Abraham sent his servant, called in Jewish tradition Eliezer, a man who was named in Genesis 15, but he's not named that in this chapter. He's just a servant or a slave. He's sent back to the old country to get a wife for Isaac. So starting at the beginning of Genesis chapter 24, Abraham was now old, advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Abraham said to the senior servant of his household, who had charge of all he owned, "Put your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord God of heaven and God of the earth that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, but will go to the land of my birth and get a wife for my son Isaac." I'm skipping on down to verse 9 now and going to read just a little bit more of a chunk of this story to get us oriented. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of his master Abraham and swore to him as bidden. So a quick reminder that the word for servant here is eved, exactly the same word that is used for a slave, a male slave. Biblical Hebrew doesn't distinguish between those two words that in English we do, and this guy certainly has a master, Adonav, his Adon, his Lord, literally, and that is what we are going to be talking about today. So just a little bit more of the story first. Genesis 24:10, then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and set out, taking with him all the bounty of his master. And he made his way to Aram Naharaim, to the city of Nahor. Aram Naharaim, that's Aram of the two rivers, the pair of rivers, one Nahar, a pair of Naharaim, that's what Ayim means at the end of a Hebrew word, Aram, where the Arameans come from, who gave us the language of Aramaic. Aram Naharaim, Mesopotamia, between the rivers. To the city of Nahor. He made the camels kneel down by the well outside the city at evening time, the time when women come out to draw water, and he said, "O Lord God of my master Abraham, Adoni Avraham, grant me good fortune this day and deal graciously with my master Abraham. Here I stand by the spring as the daughters of the townsmen come out to draw water. Let the maiden to whom I say, 'Please lower your jar that I may drink,' and who replies, 'Drink, and I will also water your camels,' let her be the one whom you have decreed for your servant Isaac. Thereby shall I know that you have dealt graciously with my master." Your servant Isaac, Avdecha, your slave Isaac, because in Biblical Hebrew, the assumption is that you're living in a very hierarchical society. Everyone has a rank, and when you are talking to or about someone who is above another person in rank, they are an Adon, a lord, and the other person is an Eved, a slave. So if the prime minister talks to the king, he says to him, the way you used to say when you would write a letter to the Times of London, "Your slave, your servant, blah, blah, blah." That's the way you would say me. You would not refer to yourself by the pronoun, but calling yourself his slave, his Eved. Back to our story, verse 15. He had scarcely finished speaking when Rebekah, who was born to Betuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor, came out with her jar on her shoulder. The maiden was very beautiful, a virgin whom no man had known. She went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came up. The servant ran toward her and said, "Please let me sip a little water from your jar." "Drink, my lord," she said, and she quickly lowered her jar upon her hand and let him drink. "Drink, my lord, Adoni." That's exactly how the servant will refer to Abraham, as Adoni in the JPS translation, my master. So again, it's part of this hierarchical manner of speaking in biblical Hebrew when she calls the servant Adoni. And just to make sure you understand that these are the words about an actual person who is kept in slavery, when you go to the covenant code, Exodus 21, the very first law there that the Israelites are given after the Ten Commandments is the law about what happens when you buy a Hebrew slave. Picking up just in verse 4 to get the word that I am looking for, if his master gave him a wife, his Adon, and she has borne him children, the wife and her children shall belong to the master, and he shall leave alone. But if the slave declares, "I love my master and my wife and children, I do not wish to go free," his master shall take him before God. He shall be brought to the door or the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall remain his slave for life. And his master, Adonav, is exactly the way his master will occur in our story, Adonav. So this person, this Eliezer, as Jewish tradition likes to call him, is Abraham's slave, his Eved, and Abraham is his master, his Adon. And that is repeated over and over by the narrator, by the slave himself, and by his interlocutors in the story. So in verse 27, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not withheld his steadfast faithfulness from my master. For I have been guided on my errand by the Lord to the house of my master's kinsmen." Verse 35, "The Lord has greatly blessed my master." Verse 36, "Sarah, my master's wife, bore my master a son in her old age." Verse 37, "My master made me swear, not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites." Verse 39, "I said to my master." Verse 42, "O Lord God of my master Abraham." Verse 44, "The wife whom the Lord has decreed for my master's son." Verse 48, "Then I bowed low in homage to the Lord and blessed the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who led me on the right way to get the daughter of my master's brother for his son. And now if you mean to treat my master with true kindness, tell me." Verse 51, Rebekah's relatives talking to the slave, "Here's Rebekah before you. Take her and go, and let her be a wife to your master's son, Ben Adonecha, as the Lord has spoken." Verse 54, "Give me leave to go to my master." And again in 56, "Give me leave that I may go to my master." And what is the purpose of going back to your master? Well, first of all, he's the guy who gave you the instructions. You have to show that you fulfilled them. And what are your instructions? To get a wife for your master's son, Ben Adonecha, in verse 51. Quiz question, what is the color of the Beatles' White Album? Quiz question number two, who is this servant's master? It is Abraham. If I counted correctly, there is at least 24, maybe 25 cases in this story where Abraham is identified as this person's master. And now read the end of the story, starting in verse 62. "Isaac had just come back from the vicinity of Be'er Lahai Roi, for he was settled in the region of the Negev. And Isaac went out walking in the field toward evening, and looking up, he saw camels approaching. Raising her eyes, Rebekah saw Isaac. She alighted from the camel, and she said to the servant, "Who is that man walking in the field toward us?" And the servant said, "That is my master." Not my master's son, Ben Adoni, but Adoni, my master. All of a sudden, after this heavy, heavy emphasis in the story over and over and over again that Abraham was this guy's Adon, now Isaac shows up and the servant says, "That is my master." How do you make it work out? Well, I guess in American antebellum terms, there would be the master and the young master of a slave, but that's not what he says, and certainly here they are overemphasizing, if anything, that Abraham is his master, and Isaac is mentioned once as the son of my master, but here, that is my master. Nachum Sarna in the JPS Torah commentary says he merits this title because he is his father's sole heir. John Levinson in the Jewish Study Bible says everywhere else in the chapter, my master refers to Abraham, and Isaac has been called his or my master's son. Perhaps Abraham has died while his steward was on his sacred mission. If so, the events narrated in 25:1-18 had happened beforehand. I would add, if so, we didn't know about it, and you would have thought if they had mentioned it, if the servant had found out about it somehow, he would have told everyone, and then that things would have worked out that way. It would have been obvious that Isaac was the new owner of this slave, but it wasn't. So what are the events narrated in chapter 25 that would have had to have already happened? I will add that you have to be on the Rashi team to think that Genesis 25 happened while Genesis 24 was going on, because the Bible, the Torah, does not say so, and Rashi says that there's no early and late in the Torah, but his successor, Nachmanides, says, oh yes, there is. Unless the Torah tells you that something happened earlier, then it happened in the sequence that it's written in the Torah. And here, the Torah is very clearly saying, for you grammar fans, the first word of chapter 25 is a converted imperfect verb, also known as the imperfect consecutive. The next thing that happened was, and here's what happens at the beginning of 25, Abraham took another wife, whose name was Keturah. You can read more about that in your Bibles or on the handout. He sends away the other sons whom he has, so that Isaac is his only heir. And in verse 8, Abraham breathed his last, dying at a good ripe age, old and contented. He was gathered to his kin. His sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah in the field of Ephron that he bought in chapter 23 this week. Facing Mamre, Abraham is buried there with Sarah, his wife. So what I want to suggest is that the author of the Torah, and I'm very clearly someone who believes in the different voices in the Torah, the priestly voice, the Deuteronomic voice. I don't believe that Moses came down the mountain with the complete Pentateuch as we have it today, but I do believe that the person who assembled these pieces many, many centuries later had some aims of his own. And I want to remind you what happens at the end of Genesis 22, the story of the Akedah. Abraham then returned to his servants And they departed together for Beersheba, and Abraham stayed in Beersheba. Isaac vanishes at the end of the Akedah story. He does not go back to Beersheba with Abraham and the two servants, one of whom, of course, Jewish tradition says was the servant of this chapter too. There's then a message about the birth of Rebekah, and then Sarah dies at the beginning of chapter 23, the beginning of this week's parasha. I think the writer of the Torah is deliberately disappearing Abraham at the end of chapter 24, the same way he deliberately disappeared Isaac at the end of chapter 22. Why would a writer do that? I'm not a good enough writer of artistic literature to be certain I understand, but I do think that is what our writer is trying to do, and I think it's worth thinking about why he might have done that. I'll be back with you next week for Parshat Toledot. Until then, this is Michael Karasik saying, thank you for listening.